We have reached the midpoint of Advent. Advent started 2 weeks ago, and Christmas Day is 2 weeks from today. So right in the middle. The midpoint is a good time to make a little evaluation of our progress, how we've done since Advent began. Hopefully, we're not in exactly the same place we were 2 weeks ago, but it's possible that we're no better prepared today than we were 2 weeks ago. So if that's the case, then we realize, oh, we better wake up and get ready for the coming of the Lord. It's an interesting process because, yes, we have to do our part, but the more we learn about the ways of God, the more we realize God has been doing his part on our behalf, not only through our whole lifetime, not only through these 2 weeks and our whole lifetime, but for centuries and centuries, God has been preparing the way for us, preparing the way so that we can be ready to greet him. I was struck by this responsorial psalm refrain, Lord, make us turn to you, let us see your face, and we shall be saved. It indicates some stages. Instead of just asking the Lord to save us, we ask that we are allowed to see his face and we'll be saved. And then before we can see his face, well, we have to turn to him. So we say, Lord, make us turn to you. It's a little bit odd, isn't it, to ask the Lord to make us turn to him? Because he won't make us do anything. But what it's the prayer is to indicate our desire to turn to him and also our difficulty in turning to him. So we ask him, Lord, help us to make the changes we have to make so that we will be ready for your coming. Make us turn to you. It's at least a starting point. And then once we turn to him, then he can show us his face and we can be saved. Well, a big figure in the long preparation that the Lord has made for his coming is the prophet Elijah. Elijah figures very prominently in today's readings. In fact, this has been referred to as the Elijah Mass of Advent, because it's all about Elijah. The first hint that we get that this Mass, this set of readings is a little bit different than the usual Advent pattern is that the first reading doesn't come from the prophet Isaiah. If you've been following every day, you realize the first reading always comes from Isaiah in Advent. Not today. We take a passage from the Old Testament book of Sirach. And in Sirach, there's a section of the book where Sirach describes or honors some of the great figures of the past, great heroes of faith. So he has a list of brief summaries of the greatness of the men of old, and in this section, he's honoring the prophet Elijah. And it's quite a tribute to Elijah. How awesome you are, Elijah, in your wondrous deeds. Whose glory is equal to yours? Who is anything like Elijah in all of human history? Extraordinary prophet, extraordinary instrument of God, with great power. And then at the end of his life, he was taken up to heaven in this whirlwind of glory. The tradition is that he was taken up in fiery chariots, a fiery chariot. And then there was a tradition among the Jews that before the Messiah came, Elijah would return. He would come back just as he went up. So there was an expectation that when the Messiah is near, the fiery chariot will come back down and bring Elijah back. You were destined, it is written, in time to come, to come back. So Elijah. Now this is the tradition that the apostles ask Jesus about in today's gospel. This is right after the Transfiguration. So remember, Peter, James, and John, they saw Jesus, and who else? Moses and Elijah. So there's Elijah on the mountain. the apostles see this glorious vision for a moment, and then suddenly it disappears. The only one left is Jesus. And so they have Elijah in their minds, and they say to him, to Jesus, why do the scribes say that Elijah must come first? That was the tradition. Elijah has to come before the Messiah comes. And if Jesus is the Messiah, well, where's Elijah? Well, the obvious one to point to is John the Baptist. John the Baptist seems to fulfill the criteria of Elijah, except he didn't come in a fiery chariot. John the Baptist didn't do any miracles. He didn't have some of the signs that people expected. So that's why Jesus says Elijah came and they didn't recognize him. This often happens. When we have some expectation that we hold on to, we don't recognize what God is actually doing. We're stuck in our own narrow idea. So part of the preparation of Advent is to break open those narrow ideas, broaden our expectations so that we can really receive what God has in mind, not just what we have in mind. Anyway, Jesus says that Elijah will come. Elijah has already come. They didn't recognize him. They did to him whatever they pleased. And that's what made them realize, oh, he's referring to John the Baptist. And they know John the Baptist was not recognized, not by everybody, especially not by Herod and by the officials, and he was martyred. Jesus indicates the same thing is going to happen to me. You know, this is what happens when people don't recognize or refuse to recognize the messengers of God. They end up killing the very ones they hope will come. Now, so that's all Advent preparation. See, we know in Advent, John the Baptist plays a very important role. He's the one sent to prepare the way. He's the voice in the desert. But even John doesn't stand by himself. He comes at the culmination of a very long line of prophets, from Elijah up to John. Whole prophetic tradition. And we realize God doesn't just send one person to prepare the way. He sends countless people to prepare the way. Now, what does this mean for us? We can make a personal reflection on this. If we look at how God prepared his people over the centuries, in many, many ways, we can say, well, God does the same thing for each one of us. He prepares us in many, many ways. He sends us many, many people. And often, we don't recognize them. We don't see that this or that person, this or that event is from God or is an instrument of God. And we end up doing our own thing. We do what we want. So this passage too is an invitation to us to open our eyes to what God is doing to help us prepare the way. Just think back over the past 2 weeks. Since we're at the midpoint, this is a good time to evaluate our progress. In these past 2 weeks, what has God done? What person has God sent? What event has God put into my life that was meant for my preparation, was meant for my growth? Maybe my purification, maybe my humiliation, maybe my edification, whatever it is, that God has lots of things to do for us. But what in these past 2 weeks, what things has God done or said or sent to help me? It's a good thing to ask, because maybe someone contacted us or something happened and we didn't recognize him or her at the time. We didn't recognize the hand of God at the moment. Now's our chance to realize, oh, that's what God was doing. Oh, that's how God was at work in my life. It's not just what I'm doing today. I can learn from what God has been doing all along if I open my eyes. if I recognize what he's doing. So that's what I think our one lesson we can take from the Elijah Mass. We're not looking for Elijah. Elijah came a long time ago. We're not looking for John the Baptist. He came a long time ago. But we are supposed to gain the benefit of the ministry of Elijah and of John the Baptist and of every person that God puts into our life as his instrument. We are not supposed to fail to recognize the hand of God. Whether it's in difficulties or in joys, God is always at work, always drawing us to himself, always preparing us for his coming. Our task is to respond to that gift with open hearts, with willing, loving, faith-filled hearts.